There you go, that's Kasabian with Shoot the Runner. It seems a little extreme just to shoot the runner. I mean, what's the problem with the runner?
Well, you're not supposed to shoot, but he's sort of the messenger, maybe. And you're not supposed to shoot him, are you?
Because he's just the runner?
Yeah, he's just the purveyor of the message.
Right.
Yeah, so Kasabian are being anti-establishment.
And they don't care, they're just going to shoot him anyway.
Yeah, that's the kind of rock attitude that you'll find on a lot of popular music.
That's why...
frankly, it's bringing the country to its knees.
Is it?
I think so, maybe.
You know, we can't even put away Pete Doherty. That's what one of the papers says this morning.
Really?
Yob culture, we can't even put Doherty in jail.
He had to appear in court within 24 hours of being arrested.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. They couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
How did he manage
that? Because he's too sweet.
He's too lovely.
He's too nice.
They were feeding him peanuts and bits of bread dipped in milk.
Hi, this is Adam.
My name's Joe. Hello, good morning.
Very nice to be with you again, listeners. Our third morning covering for Sean Keaveney here on Six Music. It's an absolute delight to be here at the BBC.
And you know, if you're curled up in bed, listening to this in bed under your duvet, still a tiny bit pleasurably stinky from the night's activities, then you're very lucky. I envy you.
Is that all?
That's it.
That's where
it.
That was going.
Yeah, that's it.
I really
that's good enough,
you.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Lucky
yeah.
you.
Lucky you.
Why not roll over and just pop your head on that lovely chilly bit of the pillow?
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
bit. Or even flop the whole pillow over.
Flop the whole pillow over. Why not just stretch your legs and worm your foot into that lovely little cool bit of the duvet that you haven't kind of slept in?
Why not just pop your foot out of the corner of the duvet?
Flip the corner over.
Waft
and expose your
there.
Foot.
Yeah.
Waft it.
Yeah, have a little waft.
Oh, you're very lucky to still be in bed, but we're very lucky to be here this morning on the BBC Six Music Breakfast Show, and we've got loads of stuff for you. We've got terrific music from the likes of Adam and the Ants. I'm looking forward to that. We've got some Maximo Park, some Mohawks. We're going to be doing the Serial Thriller.
Top session, Peel session tracks that we've picked for you this morning, folks. Do you want to tease yours there, Joe?
Yeah. I'm going to be playing some Sprouts.
Nice. Prefab Sprout.
Yeah. Sprouts.
And I've got a few nuggets from the Pixies for you, folks, from
Pixie
the Peel
nuggets.
Sessions. Pixie nuggets.
You've been out in the fields.
Collecting Pixie nuggets.
Collecting Pixie nuggets.
Yeah.
Pixie droppings.
Popping them in my music bin.
And the most exciting thing of all, folks, is we've got a new jingle.
Yeah.
You might have witnessed the birth of a new segment yesterday called Text the Nation. Well, it's the proud owner of a jingle.
It's come very vividly alive in jingle form, but
it's
right
like
now,
a baby that's grown hair and a moustache.
Are we looking at Rilo Kiley here? This is the original version, not the hub version, right? This is Rilo Kiley with The Moneymaker.
You know, I had the most incredible star-studded dream last night. I know it's a bit tedious to talk about your dreams, but I feel this is an exception to the rule.
Or we'll put a sort of one-minute alarm on you there.
Okay. Yeah. I dreamt I was at Michael Bay's house.
Michael Bay, the director of Transformers.
And Armageddon, yeah. And he had the most amazing huge house in the Hollywood Hills.
You'd expect him to.
Enormous. And he was there with Clint Eastwood. And I was watching Transformers projected. And I was stealing DVDs.
From Michael Bay's collection?
Yeah, from Michael Bay's collection.
He probably had the worst collection of DVDs ever.
No, he had amazing obscure horror titles.
Did he?
And I was stacking them up, being careful to keep it secret from the Bay and the Eastwood.
Mm.
And then I sneaked out, and my friend Edgar came into the dream, and we were trying to sneak out of Michael Bay's house, and we entered a room with a massive sort of parquet wooden floor.
Yeah, nice.
And in the middle of the floor was what appeared to be the severed head of Sir Ben Kingsley.
What?
Just from the neck up. Can you picture Sir Ben Kingsley's angry face?
Like Gandhi. Gandhi was on at the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without the glasses, though. That's... And he was just looking very angry, a bit like his Sexy Beast character.
Right.
And Edgar was shocked. He went, oh my gosh.
Ben Kingsley's
severed head.
Yeah.
And then I realised the head wasn't severed. It was merely buried in the parquet floor, like in a Beckett play.
Right.
In that Beckett play when everyone's buried up to their neck in sand.
Well, like they did with the extras in Apocalypse Now.
Exactly. So I said to Edgar, don't worry, he's rehearsing a Beckett play.
Mm-hmm.
And Kingsley just gave us a really dirty look and went, shush, like that.
Yeah, quite right. He's trying to get into character.
That's where the dream ended.
Wow.
That's pretty good, isn't it? And I woke up this morning really feeling as if I'd hung out with Michael Bay, Clint Eastwood, and Sir Ben Kingsley.
How was Eastwood
looking?
What a
night. What a star-studded night.
Was Eastwood looking haggard or...
No,
well?
Ravishing. Ravishing.
He was looking good.
An amazing silver quiff, you know, that he has.
You didn't chat to Michael Bay about Transformers.
No, I didn't.
Could have done a bit better there, Bay.
No, I didn't. Said. I didn't. I was in awe. In the dream, I was in awe of all his achievements.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Do you know what my dream was about last night?
What?
I dreamt that I was in a second-hand shop, and I found a black-and-white video game console, and it was a Binatone. I was very excited, and I was about to buy it because it was only £15. And then I looked at the back, and it was American. You needed a transformer, and the correct leads were not included.
You had a dream about leads.
Yeah.
What a boring... Compared to my dream, that's extremely mundane.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Listen, yeah. let's have some Adam and the Ants.
Do you know what? I'm a big Adam and the Ants fan. Well, obviously, I'm not big enough because
you've
never
heard that before.
Never heard Xerox before.
That's, what album's that off of?
Is it Dirt Wears White Socks?
If you could text us in, that would help us. Where's our text number? Jenny? Assistance. Where's the text number?
Oh my goodness.
64046. You can text us on at any point during the show. 64046. That was incredible.
That was
a moment of Moylesian dead air.
Totally, just everything fell apart there.
Is Moylesian a word?
It is. Yeah.
It is, apparently, officially now.
He's the king of dead air.
Yeah. Hello, we're Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. Welcome to the show. We're here with you until 10 o'clock. It's now 15, 16, 17 minutes past 7. I feel we should be doing more time checks.
People love time checks.
People love time checks.
What about a weather watch?
Well, yeah, we don't do the weather. We're just ignoring the weather at the moment.
Are we?
Thanks a lot, Al Gore.
It's not so... Yeah, thanks, Al Gore.
For ruining
thanks
the
Thanks very
planet.
Much for all the global warming.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
If you hadn't made that film, maybe we wouldn't be in this situation.
Exactly,
Al Gore.
Al Gore. But it's not so bad this morning. I did actually cycle through a little rain shower, but there's some at least blue patches in the sky, so... And it's supposed to be a bit warmer today.
Can I tell you another quick Michael Bay story?
Oh, my... Yes,
come
please.
On. This is a real story. This actually happened.
Is it in real life?
Yeah. A friend of mine, who's a comedian in America, went to a party.
Can't drop any names here?
No. And Michael Bay was there at the bar. So my friend decided to go over to Michael Bay and pretend he didn't know who he was.
Right.
So he went over and went, hey. Michael Bay went, hey. He said, oh, so who are you? Oh, I'm Michael Bay. My friend went, oh, what do you do? Michael Bay went, oh, I'm a director. My friend went, oh, what films have you done? Michael Bay went, come on. Like that. That's the end of the story. He just went, come on. Like,
that's
no
good.
One in the world doesn't know what films I made.
He got a result.
Yeah.
Well, he has made some of the biggest, the most prominent films. And
The Transformers.
The Transformers.
The Armageddon.
Pearl Harbor. Wasn't
the
Pearl
Harbor
one of the biggest box office smashes ever?
The Bad Boys 1 and The Bad Boys 2.
Has he ever made a good film? That's the question.
I like Bad Boys 2.
Didn't he once make a good film, Michael Bay?
I don't know. We'll look into that.
Yeah.
We'll get some BBC mice to look into that.
Somebody texted in. Thank you very much for your texts and messages, folks. They want to hear some Pixies a bit later on. Well, as I said, you'll be pleased to know that we've got a rare Pixies Peel session for you coming up, at least a track from it.
Very soon.
Yeah, exactly. So stay tuned for that. But right now...
Now it's 7... Sorry to interrupt, but it's 7... It's 7:19.
Nice, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, time check.
I was getting a little anxious about what the time was.
3 minutes since we last did a time check.
Bat for Lashes. How much do you know about Bat for Lashes, Joe Cornish?
Nothing.
Nothing. She is beguiling. People are
really
in love with the lady from Bat for Lashes. What's her name?
I don't know, but I tell you what. While this... What's her name?
Natasha Khan.
While this plays, why don't you do me a sketch of her?
Okay, I will do, yeah.
Do
yeah,
me a
yeah.
sketch, and then after the thing, after the song, I'll describe the sketch.
This track's called Priscilla.
Hello, this is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music. Before that fantastic trail, we heard Priscilla. What? By Bat for Lashes?
Yeah, I've done a little picture of her, Joe. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
This
I
is
do.
What this is what we'll show it to the webcam afterwards, folks, so you can see. Now this may not this may not be accurate.
Oh my God.
She's attractive, isn't she?
Well, according to... We don't know what she looks like, but according to Adam's sketch... And is this... Have you just made this up, or is this based on your memory of her?
A little. Based on my memory. I haven't really seen her.
She's
recently.
Got a centre parting and very long straight hair that goes behind her ears. They're slightly juggy, her ears.
Nice.
She's got sort of mad Picasso eyes with big eyelashes. Ooh. One iris is much bigger than the other.
Oh, nice.
She's got a kind of upturned piggy nose. She's got a black top lip and a white bottom lip and sort of very, very slopey shoulders. And tiny little breasts like purses strapped to the front of her jumper.
Listen, I'm not sure if it's accurate. I don't know if it's accurate. We'll show it to the viewers.
It's very beguiling.
We'll show it to the people on the webcam.
If you've got an internet connection and you can get your find your way to the Six Music webcam, We're going to be putting Adam's sketch of Priscilla up
it's,
there.
You know what? Looking at it again, it's not accurate. It's
but do you know what? It doesn't have to be. That's not what drawing's about. Drawing's about capturing the spirit, the essence, the feeling. You know, it's not supposed to be photorealistic.
Yeah, this is what Natasha Khan from Bat for Lashes means to me. And it's like you, the way you described it, it's like I've done a bad drawing of her.
You haven't, man. It's good.
But I think she's lovely. Now, it's time for our first pick of the Peel Sessions this morning, folks. And I've gone for one from the Pixies. Now, the Pixies, of course, did about three or maybe four Peel Sessions, and all of them were pretty extraordinary. Some of them are too sort of insanely shouty and sweary for this hour of the morning. But here is a lovely track from a 1989 Peel session, and this is called Wave of Mutilation from the Pixies.
Adam's pick of the BBC archive.
In what way is Mick Jagger like Shakira?
Is this a joke?
No, because on the news she said he was shaking his stuff like yeah. Shakira.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess the implication was that he's like
an old
leathery, wrinkly lady.
Wrinkly lady. Yeah, fair enough. Thanks.
Like a leathery old woman. That was the Rolling Stones, in case you didn't realise, folks, with Brown Sugar.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, in case you didn't realise, folks.
Yeah. For the under sixes.
Yeah.
Fun for the under sixes.
So, to continue our theme of fun for the under sixes, yesterday we were talking about alarm clocks.
That's right.
Seeing as what we're on early in the morning.
In fact, this morning I did exactly what you were talking about yesterday, I guess my body alarm has now kicked in, and I woke up 3 minutes before the alarm was
really?
Due to go off, yeah.
Like a dog that knows its owner's coming home.
Exactly. And so I didn't have the pleasure of my alarm this morning, but I've been enjoying my alarm after years of having really quite offensive alarms, and particularly that one. I don't know if it's got I'm sure it does have a proper name, but that the alarm that goes beep, 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 beep.
That's your classic standard alarm. I think that was written by Brian Eno.
It probably was,
yeah. Yeah, he was commissioned by the Alarm Clock Federation to come up with the ultimate alarm sound.
You know what? If Eno had written it, it would not have been as annoying. It would have been soothing and melodious.
He, of course, and your listeners probably know this, Brian Eno wrote the Macintosh startup chime. Is that true?
I think it is true, yeah.
You told me that, so
yes.
It's not, you're responsible.
No, I'm sure I've read it somewhere. I'm sure I've read it.
But listeners, we'd like your help with this. We'd like to play Alarm Clock Wars. We want you to kind of focus on the noise your alarm clock makes, and we want to try and find the loveliest and nastiest alarm clock sound out there. So text us on 6406, describe your alarm clock sound, tell us whether you think it's, you know, fantastically designed or whether it's appallingly designed. Here are a couple of examples to start us off. This is my alarm clock. I bought it in Tokyo. It's a Studio Ghibli one, you know, based on their film My Neighbor Totoro. It's very cute. It looks like it's been hewn out of wood. It is actually wooden, right?
Yeah.
Describe it there, Adam, what you can see.
Well, it's a sort of insane mix between a kind of Swiss design, a sort of very oldie-worldy wooden Swiss kind of curlicues on it, and then the Japanese Studio Ghibli influence. Of course, they were responsible for things like Princess Mononoke and, not Swept Away, but that would have been very bad.
Spirited Away.
Spirited Away, there you go. And things like that.
It's not working.
So presumably, it makes a fun chirruping sound.
That's the noise it makes.
That's all right.
That's all right. That is a horrific noise.
Is it?
It's a little wooden clapper striking a sort of big wooden acorn. It's like a drill. It's like a road drill. That's not a soothing noise to wake up to in the morning.
But it's natural sounding. It's like a very excited woodpecker.
A very excited woodpecker who has fastened its claws onto your head and is drilling into your skull.
Oh, that's like that horrible advert.
Terrible business. Our producer's telling us to turn it down because it's maxing out all the wires and dingles.
I'm not going to go on a massive tangent, but you know that advert with the woodpecker drilling into the guy's head?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible stuff.
So that's the nastiest we could find. What about the nicest? You've got a nice one.
Well, I've got
Adam?
A nice one, yeah. Do you want to play my one there, Lisa? And it's got the little buzz on it there.
That just would make you go deeper to sleep.
It's like someone beautiful's lying next to you.
It's like a fairy princess.
Kate Moss is lying next to you and she's going, and then Pete Doherty's lying on the other side and he's going, la 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 la.
It's probably quite a typical scenario in the Moss Doherty household that no longer exists, of course.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice though, isn't it?
That is nice. So can you beat that, listeners? Have you got a more aggressive alarm sound or a more soothing one, text us on 6406. And if you convince us verbally, we'll give you a call and maybe get you to get your alarm clock to make a noise down the phone. Hey, is this competition going to work?
Well, I don't know.
It's not a competition.
It's not a competition.
No.
By no means.
Is this event going to work? I don't know.
It's no competition.
We're relying on you, listeners. Text 64046.
I was going to remind you, we were talking about Brian Eno doing the startup sound there the other day. I was going to remind you of what it sounded like.
Yeah, but you ain't shut your laptop down.
Well, I'm doing it now. It's restarting.
Well, it'll take ages.
No.
Let's have some music while we wait for that.
Oh, as soon as the music
starts.
What's
next on the music list?
What have we got? Here we go. Look, it's happening now. Brian Eno.
That was the Mac Startup Chime by Brian Eno. This is Reverend and the Makers with He Said He Loved Me. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on The Breakfast Show. Good morning. It is, 7:47? Time check.
Joe, time check, Cornish.
Yes, very important to time check. Get everybody off to work on time and all that sort of business. It's coming up for my archive session track. And you know what I'm most excited about?
What are you excited about?
Is the jingle with the woman saying that it's my archive selection. That woman sounds so excited.
That's true, isn't it?
Is that real? Does she know me? Does she know my taste in music? Is she genuinely excited about what I'm going to pick?
No.
Or is it fake?
Yeah, well, no. Our producer, Lisa, she showed the lady a picture of you while she was doing the trail.
Really?
And her reaction is her immediate reaction to seeing your picture.
Really? Let's hear that trail now. Can we hear it now?
Joe's pick of the BBC archive.
Come on, she's excited.
She's
more excited than she was for yours. Wasn't Adams a bloke?
Come on.
Play Adams one, please.
With mine, I seem to remember she was a little bit...
a bloke.
No, it wasn't.
Adams pick of the BBC archive.
That's just a really effeminate bloke.
Yeah.
You've got a bloke. Mm. And I've got a sexy woman.
My bloke was turned on, though. Yours was disgusted.
Your bloke was closing that door. Mine was opening it. Go away, Adam's
Your
choice.
Bloke was uncrossing your legs. What?
Okay, so here is my archive session track. It's from Prefab Sprout. Now, when I was at school and very young, I was into dreadful music.
No, come
I on. Was, man. And Prefab Sprout were the first good band, sort of legitimate band.
Yeah. What were the what was
listeners
the
out there?
Stuff?
You might remember that I was into just awful, but you know, chart stuff.
Yeah.
As everybody is until they're maybe about 12. It might be younger these days.
But that was in the good old days. There was nothing awful in the charts when we were growing up.
Oh, that's fair enough. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was getting a bit picked on for not having, you know, a sort of hardcore musical taste that I could talk about.
By
so I remember going into WH Smith's in Sloane Square and picking this record sight unseen.
Right.
Just off the cover.
Really?
Yeah, and then I listened to it over and over again and grew to love it. Not this record, but Prefab Sprout's first album, Swoon. But this is from their third album, Langley Park to Memphis.
Third or fourth?
Yeah, because it's Swoon, Steve McQueen, and then I think Langley Park to Memphis.
Really?
But this is from John Peel's session on the 18th of August, 1985. This is Prefab Sprout with Cars and Girls. Fantastic. That's Prefab Sprout with Cars and Girls, recorded for John Peel all the way back in 1985.
There's a lot of secret Prefab Sprout fans out there. Do you know what I mean?
Do you have to be secret?
Well, no, I'm not saying that they've chosen a secret life of fandom for the band. I'm just saying that they're one of those bands that's very critically under the radar. Do you know what I mean? They never pop up in sort of 100 greatest album lists and stuff like that.
Really?
They really should, because
they really should.
Swoon and Steve McQueen, certainly the first two, I'm not so sure about Langley Park to Memphis, although that's got its moments. But Swoon and Steve McQueen are two of the greatest albums ever made.
McAloon is a genius,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a bit reclusive now. He released an album a few years ago. I think it was called I Troll the Megahertz, a kind of a solo album, with all kinds of lyrics about being depressed about getting old.
Well, he was going blind. So he spent a lot of time listening to the radio and literally trawling the megahertz. And
have you heard that album?
Yeah, it's good. I've
it is
it.
Good. It's really strong, though.
I mean, it's very odd. It's it's sort of an art concept album.
Yeah. Yeah, but what if he was listening?
What if he was listening?
Could he be listening? I love you.
I love you,
if you're listening, we love you. You're brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyway, wasn't that great? Yes, it was. Thanks, bye.
Now, what are we going to talk about? Oh, yes, someone sent us in their alarm sound.
We've been talking about the alarm clock sound you wake up to, what the nicest ones are, what the nastiest ones are. And we had a text here from Matt, and he says the following. Tired of oversleeping. What? Oh, let's start that again. Oversleeping?
Oprah.
Tired of oversleeping because you're...
Are you tired of Oprah sleeping? Right in the middle of a show.
Tired of oversleeping because your alarm is not effective enough. getting told off for being late to work because you kept... Oh, I can't read. You read it. Read it. You read it. I can't. My lips won't do it.
Are you tired of Oprah sleeping? Because you're... No. Tired of oversleeping because your alarm is not effective enough? Getting told off for being late to work because you keep hitting snooze?
You can't
what
do
you
it
need... What you need is the most effective alarm in the world, which I've sent a sample of. I was always late for lectures, so I recorded a bit from the film Goldeneye, where Bond wakes up in a helicopter which is about to explode, with a woman screaming at him to wake up. Now, every morning, I wake up in a flood of adrenaline, and going back to sleep is a total impossibility. It's not recommended for people with heart conditions. So let's take a listen to his special
Matt.
Ringtone.
Hurry up, come on!
That's a nightmare.
What sort of thing is that? Matt, you must be traumatised. You must be like Tweak in South Park. Constantly jittering, hair falling out. What kind of a morning is that? It's horrific.
That is that. You've created the most horrific alarm sound ever. Congratulations.
Can anybody beat that? If you think you can, if you wake up to something more alarming, text us 64046, and we're still looking for the most soothing possible way to wake up, the most soothing kind of electronically generated alarm song. Text 64046, and if you can convince us verbally that you've got the one, we'll give you a call and maybe get you to play it down the phone. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we're going to be unveiling our new Text the Nation jingle. It's very exciting. I think Adam did it yesterday afternoon.
And even more exciting than that, there's an actual feature to go with it.
Wow. What more could you want?
Where we ask you to text in about a thing. But right now, let's play some more music. Here's Sonic Youth with Cool Thing. When you're a star, what's she saying? When you're a star, I know you'll fix everything.
I tell you what she's saying. What's she saying? That was Sonic Youth with Cool Thing. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news read by Joan Harvey. Wow. That
like
was Hot, Hot Heat with Bandages. That
I
sounds
like
great, doesn't it?
It is good. It came out ages ago, though, didn't it? When was it? About
Have
two,
they
three?
Done another one?
Yes, they did. Their follow-up, I think, to Bandages was not quite so successful.
Well, how could it be? Because that's amazing. They almost hoisted themselves on their own petard by coming up with a single that amazingly good.
It is good. I like anyone who puts, like, extra syllables in a word, you know? Bandages.
Yeah.
Bandages.
Yeah. It's easy good. To get into your good books.
It's like it's like when Liam Gallagher says sunshine.
Yeah, isn't that just laziness? Couldn't think of a word that fitted properly.
Imagination.
Anyway, it's serial thriller time here on BBC Six Music. You're listening to Adam and Joe on The Breakfast Show. Serial thriller is a segment we've inherited from Sean W. Keaveney, who's on holiday in Italy. We're filling in for him. And it's designed to let Sean have some breakfast. But, you know, to be perfectly honest, it's a sham.
Why?
Because we've had our breakfast.
I haven't had mine.
I mean, I have.
I'm halfway through. I've had a couple of apples, but I've got a Danish in a bag.
So it's not a sham. You're going to have that Danish during these two tracks.
Yeah.
I had some toast and honey and... couple of satsumas, I'm fine.
What, before you left?
Yeah.
But that's because your driver guy had a flat tyre.
That's true.
So you're waiting for him to... Because normally you wouldn't have the time. You'd wake up with just enough time to get out of the house and you wouldn't have had anything.
Let's get Michelle on the line. Hello, Michelle, are you there?
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good to speak to you. Did she email with her serial thriller?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. And you've chosen two very good tracks. We've got some background facts about you, Michelle, so we can, you know, flesh you out as a person in our heads. You're from Leeds, but you now...
Well, I've just moved to York,
But you now live in York, yeah?
Yeah, I've just moved there.
Very, very different place, isn't it? Very different place.
Yeah, it's a lot quieter. It's a lot smaller.
How's the Minster?
It's very lovely.
York Minster.
Well done, Adam. Adam's trying to make you think he knows what happens in York.
Well, he does. That's all that happens in York.
Oh, really? I happen to believe there's a Smiths.
Yeah, that's true. There is a Smiths.
Is there a Smiths? There has to be a Smiths.
There is a Smiths.
That's my knowledge of York.
How's the station?
Station? Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
The station's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Is he convincing you that he knows about your town there, Michelle?
Well, I think he must live here, to be honest.
Hey, York's very pretty. Come on, it's a lovely place, isn't it?
It's very pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on to your favourite film, Michelle.
You sound like the guy from...
this morning about that.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I woke up this morning and we've got a gazebo outside because we've just moved in, so we've been sitting outside and it had blown over.
Hang on, you've got the gazebo outside because you've just moved in? Oh, do you mean to protect all your boxes and stuff? Is that what you mean?
So we can sit outside instead of sitting in all the mess.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you see. And so it blew over the wall this morning, so I had to run down and I was like looking outside, like something else.
Wow, that's the sort of meet cute with
your
neighbours.
Over the wall, and then I got this phone call asking me to think of my favourite film.
Well, sorry to add to the pressures of your morning. What is your favourite film? Bye-bye, Michelle. Michelle there.
She's just blown over the wall.
When she's hung up, she's so sick
of fed up. She's like, now, right now, she's sort of saying, and then they were sort of just making these asinine comments about York, pretending they knew where York was and what was in York.
They kept interrupting me. They made light of the gazebo disaster.
You know, I told them about the gazebo blowing over, and then I blew over the wall. I was disconnected.
Our producer Lisa's desperately trying to get her back on the phone. What if she was savaged by wolves or
we
something?
We happen to know, though, folks, what her favourite film was. Shall we tell you?
It was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is about, you know, having your memory erased. So maybe that's what happened to Michelle there.
Someone just came along and grabbed her.
Elijah Wood in a white coat with a couple of prongs.
Yeah.
erased her noggin.
But Michelle Stevenson, sorry to lose you there.
Call back if you're listening. Please call us back because, you know, that's unsettling.
Exactly. But in the meantime, Michelle has chosen two excellent tracks for us. In a second, we're going to hear The Who with Barbara O'Reilly. But first, here's Milo with Drop the Pressure. I'll be listening. That'll be excellent. Harry Hill. Before that, you heard the choices of Michelle Stevenson calling from York, and she got cut off there. But thanks very much indeed for calling in, Michelle. And you heard Baba O'Reilly by The Who, and before that, Milo released the pressure? Drop the pressure. Same sort of thing, you know. Get rid of the pressure. Just, I don't want no more pressure. Could
now,
you remove it?
Drew in Weymouth was concerned that there might be some naughty words in that record, but Drew, we're on top of that, because that was the radio mix, where the naughty words are obscured.
Can you imagine, though, if we weren't on top of it, and for some reason the filthy word version went out at 8:10 on a Wednesday morning on the BBC? What would happen, Joe?
We would probably single-handedly corrupt about 30,000 children.
That's right.
How many people listen? About 500,000? Yeah, probably about 30,000 kids out there listening, you know, having breakfast with their parents.
They'd be furious.
It would be terrible. We'd plant a seed of hatred in their little minds, like a bit of dirt in an oyster.
Right.
Now, that's not a good analogy, is it? Because they create pearls.
Pearls?
And I don't know. Who knows what would happen? Thank God we didn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, dear. It doesn't even bear thinking about it. And her favourite film, Michelle's favourite film, was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Great film and a brilliant soundtrack by John Bryan, who does many great bits of film music. I wish I could remember what band John Bryan used to be in. But incidentally, he also is involved with the new Spoon album. We'll be playing a track from that later on. It's our record of the week. So stay tuned for that. And in a second, I think, not right now though, we are going to be playing our Text the Nation feature.
I'm worried about the webcam. It's showing a picture of you, Adam, working on your computer, and me with my feet up on the desk reading the paper.
That's what it's like.
That was what it was like for like 4 seconds.
That's what it's always
now that's
like.
The BBC bosses are going to see that.
That's what it's always
I'm
like.
I'm going to get fired.
That's what it's like. Now, here's the Standells with Dirty Water. After this, we'll be back with Text the Nation.
From 1966 with Dirty Water, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Very good morning if you've just tuned in. This morning we've been asking our listeners to send us their alarm sounds. We've been trying to find the most horrible and the nicest one.
The most soothing. Yeah, no one's really sent us a really lovely soothing one.
No, we had a very nasty GoldenEye sample one.
Yeah, a homemade
one. Who was that
from?
What was his name?
Matt, I think,
wasn't
it?
Matt, that's right. Here's another one from Dean. He sent us a very sort of pithy email that says, "This one always does the job for me." Here's this noise that Dean wakes up to. Sounds like a brilliant rave track.
Is that it? Just like, wee, 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 wee. That's how robots wake up.
Is
I
it?
Think. Yeah.
Really?
No. Nope.
Well, that's good. That's good there, Dean.
What are you doing? Is that the sound of you trying to be trying to think of something to say about
it's me telling him that it's good.
That's,
you know, it's a good sound.
It's good there.
It's the sound of an organized man who goes about his morning in a very disciplined manner. I will brush my teeth. Now I have some breakfast. put down my pants, that kind of thing.
Mm.
You know, disciplined, like a robot.
That's good. So did Dean construct that himself, did he say?
No, it's just the sound of his alarm clock.
All right.
You thought of the idea in the first place.
I was considering leaving that idea alone.
Really?
You were the one that wanted to
went to the effort of recording it.
That's
and sending
true.
It in.
No, thanks for that, Dean. Cheers. Now, it's time to not only launch this feature, but play you an amazing new jingle for this feature. Are you ready for this, Joe? I made this last night.
Yeah, I'm ready. This is going to be brilliant. Brilliant.
Text the nation. Text, 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 text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yeah? I've incorporated all sort of things that people might be thinking there and their idea and what people have to do. It's all in there.
Just play it once more. What are they saying in the background?
Text the nation. Text, 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 text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
What kind of answer is that? It doesn't matter. What if I don't want to? It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm trying to deal with people that might be on the fence about it. You know?
It doesn't matter that you don't want to.
Get it, you know, just
well done,
get on with it.
Well done, that's good work, man. How long did that take?
That took me half an hour.
Wow, longer than I expected.
Yeah, with GarageBand. It's good stuff, man.
Anyway, this is our news section of the show, Text the Nation. It's a massively important nationwide poll in which we present you with a kind of a dilemma or a question and invite you to text in, and then we read the texts.
Hence the jingle. It's good. Okay, so today I was thinking about underrated pleasures.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like things in life that don't have as much praise heaped upon them as maybe they might do.
If we were on Radio 1, we might say that they need to be bigged up.
Yeah.
But we're on 6 Music, so we don't use phrases like bigged up.
No. We say underrated pleasures.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, here's a few examples. And these could be anything. It could be a film that you're particularly fond of, but not something that's just totally rubbish, but you happen to have a soft spot for it. I'm talking about something that you think is genuinely brilliant, but for some reason it's just fallen under the critical radar. Mm. Do you know
Give
what
us
I mean?
Some examples.
Okay, film-wise, how's this? Dave, starring Kevin Kline, directed by Ivan Reitman.
About the ordinary Joe who becomes the president.
Exactly. Well, it's about a guy. Kevin Kline plays a bloke who earns a living not only doing work for the community, but also as a double, like a double for the president. You know what I mean? He looks exactly like the president. He's a lookalike. And when the president becomes ill, he has to stand in for the president for real. Okay, but here's the thing. He turns out to be an even better president than the real president, who's actually a bit of a cynical schmuck.
Yeah.
But Dave, who's standing in for him, he's got a heart of gold, and he's what presidents should really be like. And, you know, on some levels, it's a ridiculous piece of whimsy, this film, but it's on other levels, it's a peach, and genuinely funny. Great performances from Kevin Kline, and Sigourney Weaver's great. Sorry, I won't go too much into Dave.
What about other underappreciated pleasures? What about music-wise?
Music-wise, I was listening to this album the other day, and it's an album that a lot of people know is very good, but it's, again, not like in the sort of top 100 best ever, and it should be. Supergrass, their second album, In It For The Money. Everyone goes on about how great Aishu Koko was and stuff, and of course it was one of the greatest debuts of all time. But album number two, that was amazing. Richard III, when that was first on, I remember the first time I saw that, I think Chris Evans played it on TFI Friday, played the video. He just thought, this is one of the best things I've ever seen. So In It For The Money, Supergrass, that's an underrated smash.
So text us 64046 with things that you think should be rated more highly. Underrated pleasures, things that you love that kind of nobody else really does. And while you text us on 64046, let's have some more music. What are we going to have?
This is Emma Pollock with a track called Acid Test.
Text the nation. Text, 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 text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
There you go.
I like the way it doesn't matter. It's sort of cut off abruptly.
Yeah.
It's very effective.
It's important.
Hello, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's 20 to 9. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We're in the middle of our exciting Text the Nation
feature.
Yeah, we've been asking you to text us with suggestions for kind of underrated pleasures. Could be books, movies, films, or things that you do that you think you know, everybody should know, are pleasurable, right?
Here's another example. Non-life-threatening illnesses, okay? Mm. I'm talking about things like a little bit of a cold that's just severe enough to keep you off work. You know you're going to recover relatively quickly from it. And it means you can just go to bed for a while and stay there.
Watch telly all day.
Yeah. You can watch TV. You can read books that you've always been meaning to read but haven't got around to. And watch films on your computer and stuff that you think like, especially films that are perhaps a little bit boring or they look a little bit worthy and it's never the right time to watch them, and then suddenly you watch them in bed while you're ill, they turn out to be amazing and brilliant and they make a real impression on you, an extra impression because you're feeling a bit ill and your head's all messed up. Do you know what I mean? It can be a wonderful experience. It's like a little mini holiday in the middle of your life, and especially if you've got children and stuff and or a busy job or whatever, it can be a real fantastic little break.
So here are some examples sent in by you, the listeners. Jake from London says the film 16 Candles by John Hughes always makes him feel warm inside no matter how grey the world is.
That's a classic, that one, sure.
Is it an underrated pleasure?
Well, I guess it's not one that regularly pops up on people's top 10 lists, is it?
Because it's amazing, that film. I agree, Jake. It kind of wrote the book for nerd comedy.
Yeah, and the teen genre on the whole.
And Anthony Michael Hall in it is amazing, amazing performance.
Well, a lot of John Hughes' stuff is underrated, I guess, because it's seen as being too trivial, I suppose.
What's happened to him? He's vanished.
Has he?
Yeah, he's vanished. Hasn't made a film in ages.
Well, he doesn't really.
It's a bit of a mystery.
He doesn't really need to anymore because he can sit happily on Ferris Bueller's Day Off and know that it's one of the greatest films ever made.
Here's another one from Mike in Hock, or his name is Mike Hock, not sure. Hi Adam and Joe. Cold baked beans are underrated, hot ones overrated.
Yeah.
Cold baked beans are usually just eaten by kids.
Absolutely. Also, I think his name might be one of those Simpsons style things that spells out something revolting.
Well, I fell for that one. Here's another one from Mitch, who says the Beta Band deserve more attention than they got.
That's absolutely true.
Now defunct, they sadly split up because they weren't selling enough records, is that right?
That's true, they got ground
that's
down.
A
there's a sort of heartbreaking documentary that's available about the Beta Band that shows you what happened to them while they were making their last album, and there's some really sad scenes of them just sat around in a cold rehearsal room just saying, we owe £1 million to our record company. How did that happen? And we just can't afford to carry on.
It's funny that, isn't it? I think people don't realise that bands have to kind of finance their own tours and videos and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They're kind of given a loan by the record company.
It all comes out of their own pockets, and if it doesn't go right, you don't sell enough albums and you spend too much on promotion.
Yeah, so when you're watching some glossy indie pop video and feeling jealous of the life those people are leading, you just have to remember, A, it's all fake, and B, they paid for it all themselves.
Yeah. Poor guys. Yeah, anyway, the Beta Band, that's a very good example of an underrated pleasure. And their second, what was it, Hot Shots Part Deux was a great album.
Yeah.
That's well underrated.
Absolutely. And then here's another one from Scott in Manchester. He's saying that the TV show Arrested Development, best example of underappreciated genius.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people, like, we all know it, folks, right? Things like Larry Sanders, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But for some reason, especially when it was on in the UK, like BBC Two used to squirrel it away at around 11:30 at night, used to move it around the schedules. You could never really catch it regularly, and no one really watched it. And of course, The West Wing, of course, which many people absolutely love, they're religious about that program, never really made an impression. Channel 4 tried to show it over here, didn't get the ratings, so they thought, nah, let's not bother.
But Arrested Development has launched the careers of lots of people who are in it. Will Arnett was in Blades of Glory. He's obviously doing very well as a comedy actor. And the kid, Michael, is it pronounced Sarah? Michael, C-E-R-A.
Yeah, Sarah.
He's in this new film, Superbad, that's supposed to be really funny. Another Judd Apatow comedy.
So keep those underrated pleasures coming in. Right now, here's Air,
the French band, with a lovely song called Kelly. Watch the stars. Look over there, Kelly. Look, the stars. Watch them.
This is Adam and Joe on Six Music. Good morning. It's, what is it? It's like 11 minutes to 9. It's like 11 minutes to 9. I said that in a way that kids will understand.
Well, it's not quite. It's 15 seconds shy of 11 minutes to 9 as I'm saying this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Should we wait until it's exactly 11 minutes to 9? And then you can say, it's 11 minutes to 9.
Yeah, what?
Our producer Lisa's saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
We've been asking you to text in your underrated pleasures.
Here's another underrated pleasure for you, right? That perhaps older married people with children might relate to more than other people. Cancelling social engagements. The delightful pleasure of cancelling a social engagement. So you've been invited out to a party or a dinner, whatever. It doesn't matter. It might be someone really nice. I'm not saying this is people you want to avoid. It might be a person that you really enjoy seeing, but you just think, oh, I can't face it. I cannot face it. Trekking across London or wherever you live, getting a babysitter, you know, the trauma of putting them to bed and saying goodnight and deceiving them so you can slip out.
You know what a similar underappreciated pleasure is?
Right.
Walking out of a bad film.
Right.
Because you just get an hour of your life back, don't you? If you decide it's not worth your time and you just go out and you think, wicked, I've got an hour to go shopping. Maybe you don't use the word wicked, because it's not the late 90s.
Would you say wickle wackles?
Wickle wackles!
Acey spacey picks it spacey!
Yeah. What? And go out and do some shopping. Here are some more that have come in from our listeners. Here we go. Adventure by the band Television is an extremely, eternally underrated album, largely because it's always compared to its brilliant predecessor, Marquee Moon, says Paul in Abingdon.
That's absolutely true. Mark, is it Mark Riley or Mark Radcliffe? One of the two is a big advocate of Adventure by Television, and it is. It's got a lovely song called Days on there, which is one of their best. I recommend that one.
Here's one from Trudy in Warwick. She's saying that Strawberry Jelly... She had some for the first time in about 15 years, and she said that was an underrated pleasure.
Jelly has certainly fallen off the critical radar of late.
I haven't had jelly in about 25 years.
I'm going to go home right now, have myself a big bowl of jelly.
I don't like the fact that it's made from animal bones.
I do like it. What do you mean it's made from animal bones?
Well, isn't that what gelatine is? It's like bones.
Is it?
I think it is, yeah. I think vegetarians can't have jelly. Isn't that right?
That's possibly true. I'm sure there's veggie jelly, though, but it probably doesn't have the consistency. And that's, of course, half the fun of the jelly.
Here's somebody else voting for John Hughes as a procurer of underrated pleasures. Nick from Brighton says that Weird Science is his favourite film. If there's ever been a finer film in the world made, then I've yet to see it.
Oh, I don't know about that, mate.
I agree, mate. Particularly the closing track by Oingo Boingo.
Weird Science. Have you watched it recently, Jack Cornish?
Yeah, absolutely.
It does not stand up.
Yes, it does.
Oh, you're insane.
It does. Weird Science is brilliant.
Listen, there's some
Oingo
good bits.
Boingo, brilliant. Who's in Oingo Boingo?
Oh,
is it Danny Elfman?
Yeah,
who's now one of the most famous film composers in the world.
That's right.
And Rick from Durham is saying that Stuart Lee is a very underrated stand-up comic. Rick, I don't agree with you that he's a brilliant stand-up comic, but I don't think he's underrated.
You do agree with him that he's brilliant. You don't agree that he's underrated.
Yeah, yeah, I think that everybody thinks he's brilliant.
Everyone knows he's great, isn't he? Yeah, yeah.
Time for more music now.
Here's The Garbage. Ba, 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 ba. Ooh, steady. That must have been embarrassing to have that at the end there without realising. Shirley Manholm.
That was Garbage with When I Grow Up. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We've got one more underrated pleasure here that's come in from John Skelton. He says, the Super Mario Brothers motion picture, released in 1993, starring Bob Hoskins, was criminally panned. They took a colourful, cheery video game, turned it into a dark dystopian... I think you got the wrong word here, John.
Dystopian.
Dystopian. He hasn't put the N on the end.
There's not.
A dark dystopian nightmare, with Dennis Hopper as King Koopa. And it was fantastic. I'm probably alone on this, but I don't care. The score by Alan Silvestri was also one of his best, but not better than Back to the Future. John, I agree with you. I'm going to re-watch the Super Mario Brothers.
It's probably got its moments, doesn't it?
Got John Leguizamo in it.
Yeah.
And little baby dinosaurs.
It's got some very imaginative art direction, some crazy creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a genius stroke of having these massive, great, lumbering, weird lizard guards. But they've got tiny heads.
I do remember that. And if you read an interview with Bob Hoskins, where they ask him about it, he is vitriolic in his fury, particularly for the directors who were Annabelle Jankel, and Rocky Morton, who I think, did they create Max Headroom or something?
Yeah,
they were
kind
of big video stars in the late 80s. So many factoids
and
there.
And he reckons it was just mishandled. Brilliant idea, they just didn't do it right.
He just thinks it's awful and he's embarrassed about it. And he shouldn't be, should he, John Skelton? No, he shouldn't. It's a brilliant film. Well, thanks to everybody who's texted in with their underrated pleasures. I'm kind of talking as if it's the end of the show.
We might have a few more of those after the news, but first, here's the Smashing Pumpkins.
There you go, more ultrasonic guitar stylings from the White Stripes there with You Don't Know What Love Is. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, filling in for Sean W. Keaveney, who's away on holiday in Italy. What do you think he's doing right now?
I would say he's in bed.
Do you think so?
Yeah, wouldn't you think?
I mean, is Italy an hour behind?
However many hours it is ahead or behind, if you host a breakfast show for a living and you go on holiday, I would guess
you know
that you more or less stay
doing?
In bed all afternoon.
I think he's awake. I think he's been up since 5:30. He's pale and trembling. He's got a banana and he's doing links into it.
Yeah.
Like some kind of disturbed nutcase. He can't let go.
He's sat in a corner with his iPod on listening to indie music. And
it's so odd to get into the routine of getting up so early and then behaving all chirpy.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for so long that he can't snap out of it.
Right.
Yeah?
And he's going up and just asking random people
what the news is for the news bulletin.
And what their favourite kind of Sunday morning routine is.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably what's happening somewhere in Italy. Oh, dearie me. So what now? Listen, yesterday I was talking about how I went to the Green Man Festival last weekend. Was it last weekend? It seems so long ago.
Yeah.
And it was kind of rainy. The Green Man's a folk festival that happens near Abergavenny in Wales, in the shadow of the Sugarloaf Mountain, a beautiful setting. It's quite a small festival. It had 7,000 people there last year. This year they upped the number to 10,000. They might have invited too many people.
Is there a Sugarloaf Mountain around there? I thought that was
yeah.
in Brazil.
No, well, there's another one there.
There's another one.
Anyway, it started raining quite hard, and I left the Green Man Festival on account of not wanting to get all wet, and it
yeah.
was muddy and claggy, and it just all got a bit nasty. So I was asking people to text in and tell me what happened on the Sunday, because there were some brilliant performers, including Gruff Rhys playing there.
Stephen Malkmus you missed?
That's right. Malkmus was the kind of headline act on the Sunday afternoon.
Did you catch Joanna Newsom?
You know, I didn't hear her play, but I ate breakfast next to her in the hotel.
Oh, she's
yeah.
beautiful.
Did she have her harp while she was eating her toast?
She did, yeah.
Yes.
She did.
Did she get
she
egg on her
She was wearing it on her head.
She
got it all covered in egg and bits of bacon.
Oh, I've got egg on my
knitted
string.
Knitted between the strings of the harp. Yeah, is that what you want to hear?
Yes, thank you.
Happy now?
Yes, I am.
I was asking listeners who'd possibly been to the festival and stayed there for the Sunday to contact us, and Jocelyn Richardson did, and she's written this little appraisal of what happened on Sunday. Thank you very much, Jocelyn. I appeared to miss a lot. She said that on the Saturday night she fell asleep in her tent listening to Tongue with their heavy bass, which apparently distracted Joanna Newsom while she was trying to play. Now, at the Green Man Festival this year, they did a silly thing. They put two stages too close together.
Oh, page one.
The Folky Dokey tent was too close to the main stage. Wasn't the case last year. So kind of music bled from one stage to another. Now, that wouldn't matter at a rock festival because it's a kind of wall of noise. But at a lovely, gentle folk festival, it was a mistake.
That's right.
It's all about the silences in folk music, really, isn't it? And
Newsom
the silences
couldn't have been happy about
were
that.
Corrupted. So, yeah, Jocelyn, I agree with you there. There was a little bit of bleeding going on with the sound. What happened there on the Saturday? She went back to her tent. She listened to Fridge, and then she got frustrated as the sounds of Battles and Robert Plant competed with one another, making it sound like a weird experimental bootleg.
It was a Plant battle.
It was.
Battles, they're good. They're a really good band.
It was a really good lineup at the Green Man Festival. And now she says on the Sunday, for those of us who weren't wimps like Joe, are very rude,
very rude,
and managed to last out until Sunday, it was well worth the trouble. The rain had gone. The wind died down. The mud was manageable.
Yeah.
Gruff Rhys was joined by Lisa Jen, both sitting in the middle of a large TV with Candyline as the test card. That sounds brilliant.
That's excellent.
He's made a kind of effort with the scenery and stuff. To end the set, Gruff moved to an airplane seat for a 20-minute version of the track Skylon from that album, which included a play acting out the storyline of bombs, a terrorist, a beautiful actress, and a bomb disposal expert. You know that track of Candyline?
Yeah, where he's in a plane, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think it's the last track on the album. It's a brilliant track. But there you go, he did a whole kind of theatrical version of it.
That's amazing.
What a fool I was to go home.
You spacked out too early. But that's another little pleasure, though. Do you know, sometimes just knowing when to call it quits, if
you're
having a little bit of a bad time at something like a 3-day festival, you just think, you know what, I don't have to stay. I can just go home, and then it'll all be over, and I'll be happy.
Is it spoon time?
I think it might be.
Oh, dear, what happened there?
Someone got shot.
Something fell over.
I think they
someone
shot one of the trumpet players there. That was Spoon with The Underdog. That's their new single from the album Gar, 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 Gar. And it is my choice for Breakfast Single of the Week. Joe's going to choose something for you next week.
Yes. Oh, am I?
Yeah,
that we're going to play every day.
Every day.
That's quite a responsibility.
It is a responsibility, but I'm happy about that spoon one. That just gets better and better the more I hear it, personally.
Do you think you will, playing it every day on this show will affect its sales in a positive way? Do you think kind of Spoon owe you?
Yeah, I think they probably do owe me a little bit. I was thinking about this kind of thing.
I think you should make it clear to them that you've helped them and really, you know, extract your pound of flesh.
I really will do. I will do.
Yeah?
Certainly. Yeah.
Even if you don't, if they don't like you... I think you should just demand it.
Uh-huh. I was fantasizing about it. Imagine if there was a little spike in their sales after this week of playing the single, and then I'd be able to say, excuse me, I'm responsible for the spike. That's my spike. Can I please...
What would you demand from them?
I would ask them to play a little set for me in my room.
In your room?
Yes.
Not even in your front room, in your bedroom.
In my bedroom. I'd be tucked up in the duvet.
Would you, or would you be lying naked on top of the bed?
That's what you'd be doing.
Pleasuring yourself.
That would be a stipulation, wouldn't it? I can behave as obscenely as I like.
A spoon? What nationality is Spoon?
They're from Austin, Texas.
Are they? So yeah. They go, okay. They've probably done similar sorts of things.
You reckon?
Yeah.
If you join a band, like you've got to expect that kind of thing.
Listen, we've had a text, an email relating to our Text the Nation happening kind of event, non-competition thing. It's from Chris. He says, hey chaps, your Text the Nation feature discriminates against those of us who don't have mobile phones. We can't take part. We can only press our noses against the window and watch the fun from afar. Can you make it text and email the nation? And he's put the word and in bold.
Right. That's from Chris, is it?
Yes, it's from Chris.
Chris, thanks very much for your email. I'm sorry, but no, we can't. It's text only, and that's an absolutely rock-solid stipulation.
Why?
Well, because it's in the name of the feature.
Yeah, why can't you change, pop home, change the jingle tonight?
I'm
took
sorry.
You an hour.
No, this is the Big British Castle, and we can't do things like that.
Who thought of the brilliant name of the of the non-competition, it's a play on Test the Nation, of course, with Anne Robinson and Phillip Schofield.
Yeah.
It doesn't work if you put email the nation. So, Chris, if you're listening, I hope you are, you've got to think of a different name for the non-competition.
Also, Chris, on a serious note, obviously we don't discriminate between messages we get from text or email. You can send a carrier pigeon if you want, and we'll still include it in Text the Nation.
Our email address is Adam and Joe, all one word, and A-N-D, not an ampersand, adamandjoe.6music, number 6, not the spelt out 6, at bbc.co.uk. That's quite complicated, isn't
it? Now, Joe, you've got a free play coming up right now. What have you got for us?
Yeah, this is one of my favourite tracks from the Outcast albums of a couple of years ago, Speaker Box and The Love Below. This is from The Love Below. So I think it's by Andre 3000.
And is it one of the sweary ones?
I certainly hope not. It's called She Lives in My Lap. This is Outcast.
Oh, I love this one.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
It doesn't matter.
Text.
I'm going to alter the jingle tonight to include people that wish to email the nation.
That's exciting.
As well as text them. I might have to extend it, though, by a few extra bars to include that
extend
information.
Extend it a lot. Make it 10 minutes long.
Shall I make it the longest jingle?
We'll fill more of the show. Hello, this is BBC Six Music. We're Adam and Joe filling in for Sean W. Keaveney. It is now 9:26. Almost precisely. We're going to wrap up our Text the Nation event, not a competition, here on the show. We've had one or two more texts suggesting sort of unappreciated pleasures, things that bring you happiness that you want to alert other people to. So here we go. Brian is saying the BBC Three TV show Pulling was amazing, but I don't know anyone else who watched it. Same goes for 15 Stories High with Sean Lott. Well, I've heard a lot of people talk about 15 Stories High.
15 Stories High I've seen, and I can confirm that it is amazing. And it was one of those weird things that, for whatever reason, didn't connect, and it was very strangely
but
scheduled.
It's doing well on DVD, I believe. You can get the whole thing on DVD, and it's got a really good reputation, 15 Stories High.
It's brilliant. Pulling I haven't seen, but I do know an actress in it called Sharon Horgan, who I think is maybe involved with writing it. She's also in Rob Brydon's Annually Retentive, and she's very talented, and I'm sure it's an excellent show.
There we go, Brian. Well, thanks for alerting us to that. Here's another one from somebody, Rohan in Brighton. He says, In Britain, Seinfeld is underappreciated.
Seinfeld.
Yes, I'm saying it phonetically. Seinfeld. There's a sign next to a field. Seinfeld. And super furry animals should be as appreciated as Radiohead, consistently the most innovative and amazing British band.
I was talking to someone about this the other day, and our theory was that maybe the reason super furries are not bigger is because they refuse to mine just one seam. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They're amazingly
too eclectic.
To
be successful in Britain, you just have to do one thing over and over,
over and over again.
Over
until people get it.
That's our theory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's another one. Underrated pleasures. Das Boot. The German film. It's very long.
That's a good one. Who is that? That's the guy that did Speed, isn't it? That's Wolfgang Petersen.
Yeah, it is. It's his one of his first films, I think.
There we go.
So there we go. Some very good underrated pleasures there to bring people happiness from unexpected places.
Thank you very much indeed for your texts and your emails. And we'll be, throwing open the doors tomorrow for another thing.
But it's news time now, is it? No, of course it's not news time. What is it time for then? She's just pointing.
What was all that kind of wind it all up? Lisa was like throwing her arms around going, come on, wind it, come on. Get quick.
All right, we're going to have some music. Here is the Salmon Dance by the Chemical Brothers, but it's too late now. Apologies to the Chemical Brothers. We're going to have to cut them off short because it's news time here on Six Music, read by Adrian and Joe.
Yeah.
Harvey and Joe. Who knows? Some exciting combo of news type people.
There you go. That's very good, isn't it? That's Deadwood by the Dirty Pretty Things.
Does that have any connection to the Stephen Frears film?
About hotel
cleaners and organ smuggling.
Was that not an adaptation of a book?
I don't know. I'm not sure what it was.
I don't know. But yeah, they were christened. The band was christened after that film came out.
So really?
Yeah, they certainly must have known.
Pop culture is a twisting labyrinth, isn't it?
That's true, John.
Words and references. One that we explore every morning here. On BBC Six Music. Listen, I'm becoming increasingly annoyed that I left the Green Man Festival because of the rain on Sunday morning. Johnny has sent a very detailed email mocking me with what happened on the Sunday. He says Stephen Malkmus played no pavement tracks and all his songs went on far too long. But at least he said that the V Festival was rubbish, and he also said that Kasabian are awful, to the utter disgust and uproar of four people in the crowd. He also says that Monkey Swallows the Universe were one of my highlights of the entire weekend. Are they a band you know, Adam?
I've heard of them, haven't heard their stuff.
What a great name. We should investigate them. But thanks very much for that email, Johnny, from a place what I can't pronounce. What does that say?
I don't know. Caerleon. Sure, I've never heard of Gare Leon. But yeah, you wouldn't expect Malkmus to dip into the pavement basket just yet. He's going through that phase that Frank Black went through, having left the Pixies before they reformed, where he wouldn't play any Pixie stuff and got very upset if anyone suggested
it. Like a music doctor?
Yeah.
Are you diagnosing the kind of stages of a condition?
Absolutely, yeah.
Not so good at talking, though, are you?
Not really. No, I've entered that phase, like, from 9 o'clock to around
10.
2 in the afternoon. Since getting up very early for these shows, I'm really in trouble.
Really?
Yeah.
You're doing well, man. Listen, here's another email that has come from Edwards, which is spelt E-D-U-A-R-D-S. Mm-hmm. He says, "Hi, Adam!" "Hi, Joe!" "I wonder, why don't you use background music when you talk?"
Well, that's an interesting question, Edouard.
In the radio business, we call them beds.
Mm. And we sometimes use beds. We use beds at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, bring a bed in, Lisa, and we'll see what difference it makes. See, there's a bit of a bed. It makes our kind of dreary drivel sound a little more
purposeful.
Dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As if it's going somewhere, as if something's about to happen. Whereas if we take the bed away, now it just becomes a kind of very... desert. A kind of massive, empty room with a small child crying in the corner.
Two small children.
And a cup of coffee falling in slow motion towards a tiled floor and smashing. Yeah, and now it's better. Now it's like we're at a party and there's lots going on. We got to go home soon and we got lots to talk about.
You see, before I said, what was the phrase I used about tomorrow's text competition? We'll be opening the doors... to more things. Something like that. I think we'll be opening the doors to more things. That was one of the phrases I came out with. I come out with a lot of phrases like that. And when you've got a bed behind you, a phrase like that can slip by unnoticed.
All you care about is bed, isn't it?
Yeah, I love bed. I wish I was.
Anyway, it's time for a track from our album of the day. The album of the day is by the New Pornographers. It's called Challengers. We'll chat about this track afterwards. It's called Myriad Harbour. Oh, that's a good classic ending to a track.
That's good, man. Beginning, middle and an end. What more can you ask for? That's the New Pornographers from their new album, Challengers. That's a track called Myriad Harbour. The New Pornographers are an excellent proposition, let me tell you, folks. I think this is album number
fourth album by the Canadian band.
Ah, there you go. And it sounds like a peach. I was listening to it yesterday for the first time. It sounds very good, but all their stuff's excellent. Well worth investigating. I saw a great double bill of them and Spoon. I should shut up about Spoon, though, really, shouldn't I? Because I'm beginning to sound obsessed, but I sort of am. And wow, they were amazing.
There's who, Spoon or the New Pornographers?
Both Spoon, but the New Pornographers I was completely blown away by as well. Sounded really good, and one of those bands that can actually, you know, cut the mustard live in a very impressive way and really sing. Lots of good singers in that band. Neko Case, she is a singer and songwriter in her own right, but she's also part of the New Pornographers, and she's a great singer.
She's a great mustard cutter.
She loves cutting the mustard.
And that track that you just heard is going to be released as a single on the 1st of October, and you can hear further tracks from the New Pornographers and from that album throughout the day here on BBC Six Music. Now, what now? Here's a trail. No, we're gonna let the whole of this play out. Every single doo-doo.
Surely the track kicks
shush.
In again.
What, sorry. Shush! Da-da-da-da-da! Do. The. Oh, okay, let's finish it.
There's 50 seconds more of da-da-da.
Is there really?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what she does, come on.
It's the slowest fade-out in the history of music.
Lisa's fading it a little bit, aren't you?
Wow, is this what the whole album's like? So, this is Kate Nash.
She's just making it up as she goes along now, isn't she?
With Mary Happy, some people love the Nash, some people loathe the Nash. But like it or not, we're playing the Nash.
She's sort of charming. Did you see the video for her? She was number one, wasn't she, with the first
single?
Probably. It was good, quite a good video of her having a little Barney with her boyfriend there.
Is that not the video to this one?
Oh, I don't know, is it? I'm confused.
I think so.
You know, I'm not.
She's a very 14. Opinionated woman. She's constantly arguing with boyfriends. In fact, when you're her age, how old is she?
She's
18, 19,
she's
something like that?
8 years old.
She's 8 years old. That's all life's about.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you have a boyfriend is just to get angry with him and gossip and then giggle about it, right? Is that condescending? Because I intend it to be. Good.
Well, I think she's very good. And, you know, there's certainly been worse movements in music than that kind of Lily Allen, Kate Nash type thing. Mm. Who's the other one that completes that picture? Kate, who would you lump in with
the
that?
The MySpace
lot?
Trinity.
Well, I suppose you wouldn't put that girl who was... I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. What was her name? Oh, she was...
Can't remember. Our listeners will
really
tell us.
Dreadful.
Text us the name of the really dreadful flowers in your hair.
You know what I mean?
Text 64046.
Kate Nash over her any day of the week.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's just coming up to 7 minutes to 10. This is the part of the show where our only listeners are the unemployed, prisoners, or people who are being lazy at work.
And politicians.
Politicians, or people who maybe work in convenience stores where they're allowed to choose what radio station they listen to.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in a convenience store right now, then good morning.
Nice one. And hey, those chocolate bars should be arranged better.
Exactly. And put down that donut, you lardy man. Now it's time for my free choice. Folks, I've picked a track from the excellent Midlake album. This was an album that was in a lot of critics' best of roundups last year, but it certainly is good. But it's like a weird kind of song. I actually can't think with the rock and roll playing in my ear there you go. It's like almost like a tribute to Crosby, Stills and Nash, this album. It's amazing, and this track especially, you'll know what I'm talking about, but it's a lovely song. It's called Head Home, and it's by Midlake. That's Midlake with Head Home. That's from their album The Trials of Van Occupantha. Very much worth investing in if you like that kind of summery West Coast sound.
Well, we've been Adam and Joe on The Breakfast Show here on Six Music. We're just coming up to the end of our time. We'll be back with you at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, all bright and bushy-tailed, hopefully.
Gideon,
Yeah, come on.
No, I just wanted to say that.
Gideon.
Gideon. Every now and again, I just say it. Gideon.
Yeah, stick with Six Music today. Gideon Coe's coming up. He's got the Glaswegian Trio, the 1990s, playing live. After that, at one, it's Nimone, who's got Julian Clary coming in. It's just non-stop goodness on Six Music today.
Gideon.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Cheers, bye.